Here we go. Boo-hoo. I have epilepsy. This is poor, fragile Kayla. The world doesn't care. Either you start breaking some rules or the rules are going to break you.
Really? Be naughty, that's your life plan? No thanks.
I am Dracula.
Hi, I'm Jackie. Wanna play?
Have you checked me, children?
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
Hello and welcome back to another episode of From Dusk Till Dawn. I am your host, Don Lahey. This is a horror movie review podcast where we like to review horror movies. The way that we choose our horror movies, we go to a horror movie generator. We watch the movie, we pod the movie, we love the movie. And this week, the beautiful generator gave us 2019's The Furies. And when I first saw it, my dyslexia said The Furries. And I was just like, well, this will be interesting. I've heard of furries. I don't know what they are, but then it's like Furies, like Nick Fury. The director of this movie is Tony D'Aquino, which I also thought that said daiquiri with my dyslexia. IMDb gave this film 5.4 and Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 69. So those are pretty close. That's pretty close. I feel like on the IMDb scale, 5.4 is a 69 in Rotten Tomatoes, especially for a horror movie, a slasher action horror movie thriller. The plot to this movie reads, a woman is kidnapped and finds herself an unwilling participant in a deadly game where women are hunted by masked men. Yeah, that's close to what happens. There's a little bit more to it, obviously, but they can't just give it to you in the plot, baby. The first line, other than all the crying and grunting happening, is what do you think? So I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm just going to jump right into this. There's really not a lot that goes through this. There's some twists and turns that are fun and kind of unexpected, spontaneous, but other than that, you're just kind of in the grips of a horror movie with some action going on. It's under 190 minutes, which is the sweet spot. I feel there's a lot of gore. There's a lot of kills. We even start off with some leg gore. So if you have a weak stomach, this isn't really for you. But yeah, it's just kind of not bare bones slasher horror, but it's pretty close. I feel like it's a lot of fun, just kind of everything unraveling. But we're just gonna jump right into it. There's all the weapons in this film are extremely fake, so you will be chuckling a little bit at them right off the. I don't know what the Grim Reaper holds. I don't know if it's called a scythe or a sickle, but we see one of those and it just looks like it came from Party City. That is a costume store in Canada. I don't know what they are called around the world, but just a Halloween store. It looks like they just picked one up right from there. This just looked like fan film texture to it, but the makeup in this was great. It kind of, you know, they got the, and I know this is going to sound weird, but they got the right texture and color for blood to kind of give you the willies a little bit. The gore scenes were like very graphic, but it did have a fan film look to it. The shots were nice. The audio's good, but it, yeah, it looks like it was kind of on a lower budget. And I think it was like $18 million, which kind of shocked me because there's a lot of no names in this and they're pretty much shooting in like an open field of trees and there's some cabins, but they look like they were already there before. So I don't know, but it said when I looked it up, how much it cost to make it and said $17.5 million, it said suspected. So I don't know. And right off the bat, we meet our two characters. One of the main characters, Kayla and Maddie, and they just do the classic, you know, 101, like script 101, let's explain who these characters are to one another. And it's very much like, we've been looking out for each other since we were in fourth grade, when Ben Henson tried to kiss you and I was there to stop him and all that bullshit. And you're going off to college next. It's just, you know, how no one ever talks. That's how, just to kind of find out who these characters are. And it wasn't necessarily, useful really. Because we meet so many other characters that really you don't care for. And the only character that I actually did care for was Kayla. So, but Maddie and Kayla do get kidnapped and they wake up, or at least Kayla wakes up in a, I was going to say box, but it's a coffin pretty much with a siren going off that wakes her up out of the box. It's scary. I'm claustrophobic. I would never want to be woken up in a coffin with a siren screaming in my face, but it was very, very annoying when it was happening in the movie. And, but it was effective. And I do love when movies start off this quick. It was probably the first, after 10 minutes, we're right into what the movie's going to be from now on. So that's why it is fun. There's no lollygagging. You're not kicking your dick across the floor trying to wait for, you know, the next best thing. It's just boom right there. Now, we do meet Sheena and Alice. So we're kind of figuring out, all right, the plot was thickening. The plot is thickening. The plot isn't lying. It's telling us that these women are in danger. They seem to be out of the coffin for a while. They kind of know what's going on. They know that people are chasing them. And yeah, it's just getting more and more interesting. They're not waiting for a moment to explain anything. They're just giving it to you as it would kind of in real life, even though this is really not realistic. But now we get a POV of an axe wielder, and there's some static in the screen, and which makes me believe that all this stuff is being recorded. But later we find out that Kayla can actually see what the masked killer is doing. So pretty much everyone has a computer in their eye, I suppose, at this point. But we do find that out a little bit later in the film, but we'll get there. But I'm just going to tell you now, just in case my sweet little brain forgets. Now, Kayla asks Alice if she remembers being strapped in a chair because someone, and if she remembers like a surgical room or something. And I don't remember seeing that, so I don't know why she would bring it up, but I could have just been writing down a note while that was kind of flashing in front of us. So I shouldn't put too much emphasis, or I shouldn't put too much like pressure on them trying to give us that. Now, all the coffins are marked either Beast 1, 2, 3 or Beauty 1, 2, 3, such as Beauty and the Beast. So we're starting to kind of put things together a little bit more. Now everything's kind of flashing at you very quickly, so you don't know what to take in seriously, because a lot of things kind of come up in this film where you're like, should I be paying attention to that? So I feel like select memory happens a lot in this film, which is maybe why I forgot the surgical room, because I'm trying to always figure out a movie before they explain it, but I'm just overzealous, I guess. There's a pretty wild kill with we see the axe wielder. He takes off Alice's face, and it's awesome. I love gore. I love these kind of kills, the ones that just kind of painfully keep you in that mouse trap and you're just struggling getting through it. It was great. Maybe it was $17 million budget and that's what they put it towards, and you know, have at it, go all in on that. Now there are sirens all around the perimeter of this giant foresty area that they've been put, and if you try to leave, then the sirens go off really harsh. But I was like, why don't you just run as fast as you possibly can, and then eventually the signal will wear out. But what do I know? I'm just a podcaster. The masked killer is kind of going after this, or the guy with the axe I think his name is Rotface, which is a pretty good name. All these masked killers look like Slipknot musician characters. And when I say that, I mean every single one of them looks exactly like that. And they are generally scary looking. So whoever kind of designed these masks and designed these characters actually did a really, really good job. Once again, maybe that's where the $17 million went. And let's go, baby. Go for it. Get it all in there. Now, the mask killer, Rotface, he waves at Kayla, and then she waves back, which I felt like that was a little weird and kind of off-brand for what's going on in the situation, but we find out a little later why that happens, and I'm going to leave that for later. Now, we see another mass killer. I'm not too sure what his name was. I'm going to say his name was Skin Crow because he was wearing a body of skin. Maybe it was fake body. I don't know. But him and Rotface start fighting over this woman. And it looks like Skin Crow kills our Rotface. So a little confusing, but the path is opening up a little bit with what the hell's going on, but it's a good what the hell's going on, if that makes any sense. So I'm kind of glued at this point. I'm trying to unravel what's going on, and it's not in a bad way at all. Now Kayla finds a village, and it looks like it's been there for a while. There's little cabins and stuff and stuff and stuff. She goes into a cabin, and we do a classic, and an innocent person creeps up behind her, and she machetes her right in the neck. Now, we didn't know this person, so there's no feeling towards it. Obviously, it sucks that she killed an innocent person, but, you know, we're just meeting people and then having some kind of connection with them. But I don't know. It's very quick, very quick. And I just feel like maybe if you wanted a little bit more emotion, then maybe that could have been someone else that we met earlier on or something, but they went with a random person. Now she has a POV shot again of what the killer is seeing, and she passes out every time, and that's because she has epilepsy. So the static in her eyes and the flickering from her reality to whatever the person that she is seeing through their eye camera is going back and forth, and it's setting off her epilepsy. Now she keeps talking about the operating table, and I don't remember any operating table, but she pretty much, after she murders this person, she then mutilates the body and looks for maybe a camera in the eye. So then that kind of answers her question towards why were we all on an operating table. And it was so this person can cleanly take out your eye and put wires in it to make a camera go through your eyeball and then put it back in your head without you feeling any kind of like pain. I feel like after you took out your eyeball, you would probably feel a little bit of pain. Like if you got punched in the eye, if someone took out your eyeball, hello, I think you would feel it. But what do I know? I'm just a podcaster. And it's also gory as well when Kayla takes out the other girl's eye. But we do find that someone is watching through their eyes, which is kind of cool. He's kind of at like a station of some sort. And so there is a mastermind behind this. Now, Sheena and Rose meet up with her, and we see that that they're kind of in, not cahoots, but they're traveling around. And Sheena and Kayla decide to make a little plan for when, I believe his name, Skin Crow, comes in and tries to take them out or something. And they were a little unorganized. It probably could have been nipped in the bud a little bit easier, but they screw it up. And but there is a very important thing that happens during this, and Skinkrow tries to look at Rose's face. So this is where I kind of get a little confused at this point. But we're figuring out that if you kill the wrong person, then someone's head explodes. The beasts, so all these guys like Rotface, and there's also a guy named Pigface and Skinkrow, they're all actually protectors of Kayla, Rose, Sheena, Maddie, and Jess. I believe Jess was the one who got macheted in the neck. No, wait, Jess is the one who had her face cut off. But I don't know where her person was. So maybe it was Alice. No, it was Alice who got her face cut off. But I think Jess gets the machete in the face. And then the pig face guy who showed up for about 5 minutes, his head exploded. So the people in the masks are the protectors, and the girls are the kind of protectees. So if your protectee dies, then you die. So that's kind of why Skinrow and Rotface were fighting in the field a while back. And that also means that's why Kayla and Rotface waved at each other. Now, Kayla didn't know why she was waving back, and still a little weird, but Rotface waved at her being like, I'm protecting you, so cheers, babe. But yeah, if that kind of makes sense. They honestly kind of unravel what's going on within like 2 minutes. So it is a lot, and then there's kind of like a Lord of the Flies moment where people are like, well, I can kill you and then your person will die. So that means that I can pretty much win here. If I just kill everyone here, then everyone will die and then I can just get away all willy-nilly, yo. Now, they finally find Maddie from the very starting. And it's... I don't know why she wasn't moving. She was the damsel, maybe. I'm not too sure. She was called a coward, but yeah, a little. I don't know why she wasn't moving the whole time. Like, what the point was of keeping her there? But at this point where we meet up with Maddie again, Rose, and throughout the movie, Rose acts like a child, like a baby almost. And at the end, she turns into this like dickhead, and it's a little wild, like just how she turned so quickly. And I don't know if that was like an act or she just... I don't know, snapped out of her baby voice thing, but she, I don't know. It just kind of turned really, really quickly. But she does take, we meet the last guy who is the owly. He's got an owl head, and that we kill him by killing Maddie. Rose kills Maddie to kill him because Maddie thinks that this is a good thing, that they're going to win the game and she's going to kind of win over Kayla here. But Rose just killed Maddie's friend, which doesn't make Kayla very happy. And then they just start like screaming primally at each other, like a scream fest. And it's pretty funny because they're just screaming for, I mean, Kayla's not screaming for no reason, but Rose is just screaming, and then she gets up and runs away while screaming, and it is a good little laugh. Now, Rose leaves. We don't see Rose until a little bit later, but Kayla's done with this. She goes up. She goes to the what do you call it, the boundary where those sirens are, and she cuts her damn eye out. She gets her knife, she cuts her eye out. That's badass. You're going to have a patch for the rest of your life. It rules. And she cuts her eye out, and she just starts walking ahead. Now, we cut to a dude watching all these killings that just happened in front of us on a VR set. And there's like screw ups and stuff, and he goes and pours himself a drink. And then Kayla walks in all one eyed and ready to go and tases him. And she's trying to find who did this. So I think that we're trying to get the Furies too. But she's knows he's involved and trying to get other people involved. And I think she might have gone like a little crazy because she sees Maddie there, her friend, and her friend is telling her, Maddie's telling Kayla to like kill him. And it kind of came out of left field. So don't really know why they were doing that, but they did. And that's kind of it. I'm not going to lie. Like it was quick. It was painless, at least for me. If this movie was made like 10 years before it was made, so 2009 instead of 2019, I think it would have looked and felt a lot different, because I can watch now something from 2009 or 8 during prime grime, and it doesn't seem too wild anymore. But when I watched it back then, it seemed insane. So I feel like if this came out in like 2009, it would have been kind of up there with the, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake reboot and the Hills Have Eyes reboot and High Tension and all those films that kind of was like all nitty and gritty. But yeah, it kind of flowed all right, except for like maybe the end when it kind of came out of nowhere. I thought we were going to maybe continue with the movie, like she was going to hunt them down, but maybe we're going to leave that up to the Furies part two. I don't know if Tony DeQuino is thinking about doing the Furies part two. I can't see anything on his IMDb saying that. Maybe he has a show. I don't know, because there is a show, I believe, called The Furies, but I don't think it has any recollection with this. Recollection? I don't think that's the right word. Maybe it is. But yeah, so I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to give this a rating. This is a really quick episode, but I felt like this kind of handed itself over to me really easily. It was a okay concept. It was confusing until they explained it perfectly. They could have kind of I feel like maybe watching it again, which I think I will, would help me understand it a little bit more. But this is just, you know, right after I watch the movie, I jump on here and let everyone know what's going on. So on this podcast, we like to rate our films with Don's dollars, $1 being the least amount of money that you spend to go see in a movie theater, 10 being the most amount of money that you spend to go see in a movie theater. And I'm going to give this $6.50. And this is probably going to make my mother-in-law a little confused, because she was sitting beside me watching it, and I don't think she'd expect me to give it $6.50 Don's dollars, but I am, because I liked it. It was quick, it was slashery, it was easygoing here and there, it was gory, it had substance for sure. The fan film texture to it was fine. I can deal with that. But yeah, $6.50. I would go check it out. It's on Shudder or Prime Shudder Prime. So go check it out. Thank you, everyone, for listening to From Dusk Till Dawn. Please go follow our Instagram on Instagram. And it's From Dusk Till Dawn Podcast on Instagram. We have trivia and we have teasers. We have just good vibes there. And go follow, DM us, let us know what you want us to watch. And if you're ever in a showdown with the person that you just survived a mass killing with, I would just kill their best friend in front of them, because that's how you win the game, I guess. And also, never forget, being productive is seductive. Love ya.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I'm your number one fan.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
Why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
I see dead people.
Let the power of Christ compel you.
Rubs the lotion on its skin, or else it gets the hose again.